Okay, Boker Tov. Good morning, everybody. We're here on Zoom at Kilat Shiftei Yisrael and Ranana, studying Amud Yomi. And Baruch Hashem, we finished Masechet Brachot yesterday, and we're moving on to Masechet Shabbat. Masechet Shabbat is one of the longest Masechtot in all of Shas. It's about 157 blat. So it's going to take a little bit of a while for us to get through this, but Bezrat Hashem, we will. That's number one. Number two, Masechet Shabbat is hugely important. So much of Jewish life surrounds Shabbat. Shabbat is the center of our lives. It's the most important day of the week, most important day of creation. So there's a lot to study here. Some of the concepts here will be very practical. Some of them will be more theoretical. So there are a lot of foundations that we need to build before getting to practical levels of the Gemara, but we're going to try our best to always merge an understanding of the text itself, and then how does this relate to our lives? How does it affect us practically? Okay, so let me give you an introduction, a little bit of an introduction to Masechet Shabbat. So here goes. Number one, we're going to start with there's something called the 39 Melechot. Lamentet Melechot. These are the 39 forbidden acts that one is not allowed to perform on Shabbat. Where do these come from? It's discussed, it's debated, especially on Daf Memtet Amud Bet Masechet Shabbat. Primary source is based on the Mishkan. In the Mishkan, they had to construct the Mishkan, and whatever actions they took in the Mishkan, they stopped doing those actions, and those whatever they were building, they stopped that on Shabbat. And therefore, on Shabbat, we also desist from doing the 39 melachot. Now, the first of these melachot has to do actually with how you make bread. Choresh, you plow, zorea, you seed, kotzer, you cut. The last of the melachot is something called hotza'ah. Hotza'ah means to carry. Okay, what do we mean by carrying? For those of us who grew up in Chutz La'aretz, we might know what it's like to live in a place without an Erev. I'm just curious, anybody raise your hand if you grew up in a place without an Erev. There we got one, two, three, four, five. Okay, most people here.
Part of my life I did.
Okay, you had an Erev. Queens, you have an Erev. I also grew up with an Erev in Teaneck. But many Jews grew up in places without an Erev. Now today, an Erev is commonplace. Okay, you could even link up the Erev between Ra'anana and Kfar Saba if you want to walk to Beit Meir Hospital. So we're not so used to living without an Erev. But back in the day, knowing whether you could carry on Shabbat, this is like the most practical halacha. So we're actually going to spend a lot of time in Masechet Shabbat talking about carrying hotza'ah on Shabbat. Now there are two different isurim, two different prohibitions related to carrying. Number one is carrying from one domain to another domain. According to Torah law, there are two types of domains. There's a reshut hayachid and a reshut harabim, a private and a public domain. Reshut hayachid, let me give you how it works. A reshut hayachid is like a house, for example. It's any domain that is four tfachim. This is a tefach, so four of these. By four tfachim and 10 tfachim high, 10 of these high, that makes a reshut hayachid. So let's say you have a mound, for example. That would be reshut hayachid. Those little taxi cab, boxes that people sit in, the caller sits in to send a taxi cab, that's a reshut hayachid. So you may not carry from the reshut hayachid to reshut harabim. According to Torah law, what is a reshut harabim? There are a number of requirements in order to have a reshut harabim. A reshut harabim is a public thoroughfare. It's a space that's at least 16 amot wide, and amah is this, so 16 of these wide. It's an area that's not covered, and according to some opinions, which we'll see, you have to have at least 600,000 passerbys in that area on a daily basis. Okay, so you're not allowed to carry from a reshut hayachid to a reshut harabim. Now, what is achuza, for example? Is achuza a reshut harabim, reshut hayachid? We're going to talk about this as we get as we delve into this. There are two other rabbinic domains. Those are called a Carmelite and a Makom Ptur. We'll discuss these as well. But the first part of Hotza is that you're not allowed to take something from a Reshut HaYachid to a Reshut HaRabim or from a Reshut HaRabim into a Reshut HaYachid. That's number one. Number two, the second thing you're not allowed to do is to walk four Amot. To walk four Amot, again, this is an Amma, four, let's say, steps. You may not walk four steps carrying something in the public domain itself. In the Reshut HaRabim, you may not walk four steps. These are the two different aspects of Hotza'ah, and we will discuss both of them, in many, many discussions. Okay, Let's also understand another set of concepts. Generally in halakha, you have the two concepts of chayav and mutar. Something is prohibited and something is permitted. In Hilchot Shabbat, we have a third category, a middle category, and that is called a shvut. So you have a chayav, it means that you are obligated according to Torah law. If you did something intentionally, knowingly on Shabbat, you're going to be stoned to death. And if you did something accidentally or something not knowing or accidentally, so you have to bring a korban. Okay, that's mezid and shogeg. Whereas what's the third category? The third category is called patur. Patur means that something is prohibited rabbinically, but permitted according to the Torah. It's permitted according to Torah law, but the rabbis prohibited it. There are many different areas of Shabbat that are, eno chayav, patur. Okay, patur, meaning you're not allowed to do it. It's just that you don't violate a Torah law, you just violate a rabbinic law. There'll be many times that we're going to see it in our first Mishnah, the notion of chayav, violating a Torah law, and patur, violating a rabbinic law. So let's jump right in to the first Mishnah of Masachat Shabbat. This is a very short daf, as you could see, based on, we're right in the middle here, Yitziyot HaShabbat. We'll jump right in and we'll discuss. Yitziyot HaShabbat, Shtayim Shehein Arba. Okay, the Melacha of Hotza'ah, it's funny the Gemara uses the word Yitziyah, which means, for a person to go out, to exit. But really, as Tosfot points out, second Tosfot on the page, it's not Yitziyot, it should really be Hotza'ot, which means, bringing something, carrying something in and out. So Yitziyot HaShabbat, Shtayim Shehein Arba. It's two that are four. Shtayim Shehein Arba. We'll see what this means. Shtayim Shehein Arba Bifnim. Ushtayim Shehein Arba Bachutz. Two that is four inside, meaning in Rishut Yachid. Two that is four outside, in Rishut Harabim. Ketzad. How does this work? Now we're going to see exactly what the Mishnah is talking about. So we had a general idea, and now we're going to have a more specific analysis of this. Ketzad. So one more thing that before we get into this that's worth knowing is that when are you chayav for carrying, when are you obligated for carrying something in and out of a reshut hayachid to a reshut harabim? So you need to do two things. You need two actions. You need to pick something up from the reshut hayachid and then put it down in the reshut harabim. You're picking up and putting down. These are called akira and hanacha, la'akor, to uproot. Hanacha, la'aniach, is to place down. You need to do both of these things in order to violate the Torah law. If you only did one of them, as we'll see, then it's patur. You violated a rabbinic law, but not a Torah law. So let's jump right in. Ketzad. Ha'ani omeid bachutz. We're imagining a situation where a poor person is standing outside, uval habayit bifnim, and the owner of the house is inside. We'll talk about why they use these characters in a little bit. So the ani is outside, the balabait is bifnim. Pashat ha'ani et yado lifnim. The ani puts his hand into the house. The house is a reshut hayachid. He is standing in the reshut harabim. V'natan v'toch yado shel balabait. And he puts something into the hand of the balabait. Okay, let me ask you. Is he violating Torah law here, the poor person? Yes or no?
Yes.
Why yes? Correct? Why yes?
Because he's doing it both
Akira and Anacha. He's picking something up from the Rishut Arabim and putting it down in the Rishut Yachid. Okay? Good. Next case. Oh, Shanatal Mitocha Votzi. Or if something is, just being held by the Balabayit inside the house, and the Ani puts his hand into the house and grabs the coffee, the coffee, and takes it out of the house and holds it in Rishut HaRabim, is he, what level is he chayav? What has he done here?
Huh? Because he hasn't put it down.
Well, he's holding it. He's picked it up from the Rishut HaYachid, okay. And then he holds it in the Rishut HaRabim. So is he, what is he violated here? What do you think?
It's done only Akira so far.
Okay, he's done Akira, but holding it in the Rishut HaRabim is essentially also a Hanacha. Okay, so he's He's bringing it there and he's holding it. So we're assuming that's also a hanacha. But we will speak about what is the status of a person's hand in another few black. Okay, so in both of these cases, he'ani, what's the ruling? He'ani chayav u'balabait patur. Okay? Okay, so in both of these cases, the ani is obligated because he's done two things, hanacha and akira, u'balabait patur. Okay, so let's look at Rashi for each of these. Let's look at this inside. Okay, so Rashi says here, 1 second, just point out which Rashi it is. Okay, so let's look at Rashi, Shehen Arba, okay? Let's look at Rashi, Shtayim Shehen Arba. Lo'otan ha'omdim bifnim, Shtayim minat Torah. For those who are standing inside, there are two prohibitions. What are they? Hotza'ah ve'achmasah de'balabayit. So what are we saying here is that for the balabayit, there are two Torah prohibitions, which is to bring something into the house or to take something out of the house. Okay, where do we learn this from? Rashi says, Nafgalan ukefi ubeperek hazorik bereishe nafgalan nivaitzav Moshe vayarkub machana. We'll talk about this in a second, where this love hotzah comes from in the Torah itself. Go to the next Rashi, Shehin Arba. Midivrehem hosifu shtayim le'asor lechatchila. Okay, so basically, so this is the Torah law, what we first saw in the Mishnah here, that the ani is doing two actions. Let's look at the next case in the Mishnah. Hashat bal habayit et yado. Let's say the bal habayit puts his hand out to the Rishut Rabim, lachutz, v'natan l'toch yado shel ani, and he puts something into the hand of the poor person. O shenatal mitocha v'chnis, bal habayit chaya v'ani patur. So if the bal habayit takes something from inside and puts it outside, or takes something from outside and brings it inside, he's doing akiran hanacha, he is also chayav in each of these cases. Okay. So that's case number two. And both, we see that both the ani and the bal habayit have two things that they are obligated according to Torah law for. Okay? That's the shtayim, that's the shtayim. This is the two, bifnim and bachutz. Now we have to see the arba. How does two turn into four? Okay, so let's see the next case in the Mishnah. Pashat ha'ani et yado lifnim. Let's say the poor person puts his hand inside. Vinatal balabait litocha. So the ani puts his hand inside. Okay, he's holding the coffee, puts it inside. What is the ani done? He's done akira. He's uprooted it from the Rishut Rabim, brought it into the Rishut Hayachid. But then what happens? Pashat balabait et yado lachutz. Pashat ani et yado lifnim. Vinatal balabait mitocha. And the balabait takes it from him. So the balabayit is the one who's doing hanacha in this case, and the ani is doing akira. Oh, or the opposite case, shenatan litocha, v'hotzi shneim piturim. Okay, or the opposite case where he shenatan litocha, he puts it in. Okay, look at Rashi v'natan litocha do the balabayit avid le akira b'rishut rabim hanacha b'rishut hayachid. Oh, shenatal mitocha v'hotzi acheivet. So if the ani
holding in his hand is not a hanacha.
Nachon, in this perspective, it's not a hanacha. We're going to resolve this in another daf. But here, what we're seeing is that if each of them do one action, if one does the hanacha and one does the akira, then they are patur. And then the final case. Now for the bal habayit, how do we do make two into four, two Torah laws into four? Pashat bal habayit et yado lachutz. Let's say the bal habayit takes his hand and brings it into Rishut Rabim. V'natal ha'ani mitocha. And the ani is the one who takes it out from his hand. So the bal habayit is doing akira from inside. The ani is holding on to this. He's grabbing it once it's already outside. He's doing hanacha. Oh, shenatan mitocha. Or if the balabai puts out his hand and the ani puts something into his hand and the balabai pulls it inside, okay? So in this case, the echnis shneim piturim. In both of these cases, three and four, they're both patur. Again, patur, it's patur of alasur. They violated a rabbinic law, just not a Torah law, because each of them are doing only half of the malachav hotza'ah. They're not doing the full thing. Okay. So this is the Mishnah which tells us shnayim, two Torah laws, and how they turn into four laws altogether, two rabbinic and two Torah. Now, let's look at Tosfot here on the top left. Tosfot asks a very basic question. Why are we talking about Hutza'ah now? Why don't we talk about more fundamental ideas in Masechet Shabbat? And let's look at Tosfot on the top left. Yitzyot Shabbat Shtayim Shina Arba Hikshe Riva. Riva asks the following question. Didinei Hutza'ot Shabbat Hayalu Lishanot Gabi Avod Melachot Achar Perek Klal Gadol. He says basically we should study this. This is the last of the 39 Melachot. We should study it much later in the Masechet. And by Daf Ayin Gilam Amun Aleph, where there's a whole list of the Melachot, and then the last of that list should be Hutza'ah. Why are we starting with this topic? And he says even furthermore, the laws of Shabbat should be presented in a chronological order. First, start with the things that you do to prepare for Shabbat. Then you talk about as Shabbat is the onset of Shabbat. Then you talk about Friday night and then Shabbat day. And this indeed is how many of the Mishnayot are organized. And yet Hotza'ah seems to be, for example, we have a discussion about a chayat, a tailor, about whether he's going to be able to walk around with his needle or not. This is very early on in the Masechet because this is before Shabbat going into Shabbat. So why are we talking about Hotza'ah right here? So there are three answers provided by Tosfot and others as well. Answer number one is that Hotza'ah is chaviva. Hotza'ah is as many important principles that we're supposed to learn, and therefore it's a beloved topic. So the Gemara wanted to start with this topic. A second explanation of Rabbeinu Tam is that this is something that's davar dahava ragil. This is something that people violate regularly. Again, if you live in a place without an eruv, this is the first thing you think about when you walk out of your house. How am I going to carry my key? How am I going to get that cake to my friend who we're eating at today? How am I going to, can I take my sefer outside and read it in the garden? The third answer presented by Rabbeinu Tam is that Hotza'ah is a melacha gru'ah. It's a melacha gru'ah. What does gru'ah mean? Gru'ah means that it's it's garu'ah. It's garu'ah is something bad or low quality. What do we mean that it's a low quality melacha? So Tosfot explains actually in the fourth Tosfot on the page. He says, if you think about what it means to build something on Shabbat, when we build something on Shabbat, you're cooking. I'm transforming something from one entity to another entity. Hotza'ah is very conceptual. I'm walking from this domain, this space to that space. Am I creating anything new? Am I constructing anything? Am I building? No, it doesn't seem like you're doing this. And why should the walking four amot in the Rishut Rabin be any different than walking four amot in the Rishut Yachid? If I walk around in my house carrying my mouse here, I'm walking around four amot, doesn't matter. I haven't violated anything. And yet if I walk outside in the street, suddenly I'm violating a Torah law that you get skila for, that you get stoning for. So it's considered a melacha gru'ah, which means that it needs a lot more study and a lot more emphasis, and therefore we bring it forward to the beginning of the Masechet. Okay, where in the Torah do we learn Hotza'ah from? There are three different answers. Oh, by the way, two more answers of why we talk about Hotza'ah first is that, the Gra actually explains that this is one of the only melachot that are quoted, the only melacha that's quoted explicitly in the Torah. Okay, again, everything is derived from the Mishkan, but it's not written explicitly. This is written explicitly. Where is it written explicitly? We're told, Al Yetze Ish Mimukamo in Parashat B'Shalach, the Jewish people are going to gather the man every single day. And they're told, don't go out of your homes to go gather man. Don't take the man into your home. And that's the source for this. The truth is that there is another melacha which is mentioned in the Torah. Anybody know what that is? There's one more that's mentioned in the Torah explicitly.
Ish.
You should not light a fire, kindle a fire in your home on Shabbat. That's also mentioned. The Gra doesn't appear to bring that up. There are two other explanations for where this comes from. Another one has to do with the gathering resources for the Mishkan. Because with regard to the Mishkan, we are told that they were told to stop bringing extra donations. And we assume, and it comes from the pasuk, "Vayitzav Moshe vayaviru kol b'machaneh," and we assume this was on Shabbat, because Shabbat was coming. Moshe told, "Stop bringing, stop carrying, So that may be a second source for this. And again, the third source, which we've already mentioned, is that it comes from the Mishkan itself. Anything that happened in the Mishkan is prohibited on Shabbat. Anything that was, because we know that the Torah presents Shabbat and the construction of the Mishkan together. And therefore, if you cannot build a Mishkan, this is also something that you're not allowed to do on Shabbat itself. Okay, let's also understand why, and we're almost done here for today. Why is it that you're not allowed to do? Why do these things become patur? If you're doing half an action, akira or anacha, half a melacha, why is that prohibited? So Rashi explains here. He explains that there's a concern that if you're going to do half the melacha, you're likely then going to do the full melacha. Okay, so it's a rabbinic safeguard to prevent you from doing both things. That's number one. That's Rashi's explanation for this. Now, last and final point. Why don't we talk about the case of an ani, a poor person being outside, and a bala bayit being inside? So Rav Avadya Mibor Tanor explains that, agav orche kamashmalan. This is unfortunately the way of the world. You know, someone comes to your door, poor person asking for something, bala bayit is in the home. So this is often a situation one might encounter. And lo aleinu, we shouldn't have any poor people, even though we know lo yachtel avyon mikerev haaretz. But Rav Avadya Mibor Tanor tells us, what is this coming to teach us? Even if you want to give something to an ani, you want to help them on Shabbat. You're not in this way of giving them, taking something out of the Rishud Yachid and putting Rishud Rabim. You're not allowed to because it's the mitzvah haba ba'avera. It's a commandment that's being performed through the violation of the Torah law. So one is not allowed to do that. There are other ways to help an ani. You could certainly invite them to your Shabbat table, right? So there are other ways of doing Hachnasat Rachim, for example. So with this, we're going to conclude the first Amud of Masechet Shabbat. We'll continue tomorrow, Be'ezrat Hashem, with the second Amud, Amud Bet, where we'll start to analyze this and compare this Gemara to other Gemarot. Okay, so wishing everybody a great day. Kol Tuv, Yisher Koach on the learning. And if you want to join us for the Siyum tonight, just let me know.
Okay. What will we do?